Do you know what it takes to get your brilliance out there? It can get messy, and it should. I'm Kelly, the founder of Women for One, and I talk to powerful truth tellers and change makers about the experiences that most transform them and help them to make their lives happen on their own terms. So let's dive in to the Messy Brilliance Show. So, hey everyone, it's Kelly with Women for One, and I am so excited today. I'm excited because Women for One has a lot of serious, intense interviews about deep things like truth and wisdom and transparency. And I'm really excited today because we're going to go deep with a powerful woman in this country that is changing the world through humor and realness. And I'm just so excited to be talking to Christina Kuzmic today. Welcome, Christina.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, I can't wait to just have a conversation with you. I just feel like you're one of my best friends already. And I think that is what is so incredible about who you are, because you are real. So I want to just tell everyone a little bit about you first. Christina is a mom, first and foremost, a wife, right? A blogger, a vlogger. She actually was selected out of 20,000 applicants for a show on the Oprah Winfrey Network several years ago called The Ambush Cook, which I'd love to talk to you about. And how I found Christina was someone shared her video with me. There's so many videos I want to talk about. It's like I have so many things in my head I want to ask you about. But go to her YouTube channel, because, and we'll talk about that at the end, because you are going to laugh, you're going to cry, and you're going to just feel so relieved and connected and get some incredible wisdom. So thank you, Christina, for being here.
Thank you. I'm excited to talk to you.
Yeah. So I think first, you know, at Women for One, we're all about sharing our truth and our story so that other women can feel less alone and more uplifted. So can you just give us a quick snippet of your life and how you came to be where you are now?
Sure. I'm going to try to keep it quick. I'm a long talker. I grew up in Croatia, and then the war started there when I was 12, and then by the time I was almost 15, we moved to the States. So that was obviously a huge cultural change, a huge thing to just, you know, have a war start in your country when you're 12. Lots of emotions, lots of stuff going on there. And then I got married young, had two little kids, ended up divorced when I had a 2 and a 3-year-old, ended up completely broke, sleeping on the floor, you know, just trying not to be homeless. And then soon after all that craziness, when I was finally on my path to just feeling less of a failure, feeling like life was sort of starting to get normal again, I entered the Oprah competition you mentioned, and not really obviously expecting Oprah was going to notice me or care, especially me, because, you know, I was still kind of recovering from having nothing. And ended up winning my own cooking show on her network, which was crazy. And really fast, one of the reasons I was passionate about cooking is because when I was at that lowest point and completely depressed and divorced and
been there. Yeah.
So, you know,
yeah.
I became so self-consumed, and which I think is normal when you're, you know, woe is me. Oh my gosh, life sucks. Oh, I can't get out of this. Well, that I had this idea one night, the only way to like stop being so obsessed with my own troubles is to think outside myself. And so I decided I was going to volunteer with my kids. Nobody would take me. There's actually an article on my website I wrote about it.
I read that. Yes. Go there. What's it called? I'm serious. It's
But Not Worthless.
Broken But Not Worthless. That's right.
And, nobody would take me to volunteer, which is like, really, you're even this, I'm going to get rejected at volunteering. Uh-huh. But they wouldn't take me because I was going to bring a 2 and 3-year-old. I couldn't afford a babysitter. And so finally, I thought, what's the one thing, even when I feel like a complete failure, what is the one thing I can still offer this world? And the only thing I could think of was cooking. And so sent an email to all my contacts in LA and said, whoever needs a meal, whether they're homeless, whether they're an elderly person that just lost their spouse and they're lonely, college kid that's sick of cafeteria, whatever. I don't care what the need is. My apartment every Wednesday night. And I took the very little that I had, you know, and would cook like pasta or something cheap. But I ended up feeding people on Wednesday nights. And that was my path to healing, is feeling like, oh my gosh, even when I feel like I have nothing, I still have something to offer, which I'm a big fan of everybody has something, and that little can be turned into something great. And my great came from getting my self-confidence back, all that stuff. So anyway, all that to say, that was the reason I was passionate about cooking, because I felt like cooking saved me in a way, out of this depression, out of this feeling like a loser. And then now, I love cooking still, but now I'm really more focused on parenting. I have a teenager, a preteen, and a toddler, all at the same time. It's like, I don't even have the words for it. So obviously, I'm passionate about trying to keep my children.
Keep yourself sane and your children.
Right. The sanity for me is really important too, but also just trying to raise decent human beings.
Right. And speaking of that, the reason I found you was I have six of my own. I have three stepchildren and three.
Bless you. Six is a lot.
And their ages right now range from 16 to 22. So they're all teenagers. And I have a 1.5-year-old dog that is basically a teenager right now.
Oh my gosh.
And they're all home for the summer.
What's it saying?
Woo! So I totally relate, and I need that laughter and that humor, but also that realness and connectedness that you provide on your videos. And when I saw the video, I'm your parent, not your friend. I don't know. Maybe you can name it more effectively than that. Is that what it's called?
I called it, I'm not your friend, kid, in parentheses, because I love you.
Yes, right. I was laughing so hard, but I was also like, yes! You know, so great. And I actually showed it to my husband's best friend's wife on a trip last week. She reposted it. She's like, this is it. This is me. So why do you think so many women resonate with what you're saying? I mean, that's kind of an obvious question, but I'm curious, you know, where did you get all that wisdom from?
Oh, you're so sweet. I don't know how much wisdom I have. I'm just sort of, I'm winging it like we all moms are. But for me, that concept of, I feel like that must be a new thing because my mom's generation was not trying to be all BFFs with their kids.
Right.
So I feel like it's more this generation. Maybe it's parents who were raised too strict and now they're going to the other extreme. Mm-hmm. And I'm not a fan of being in any way a dictator, but I hate the idea of like, oh, my kid really wants it and I don't want to hurt their feelings, so I'm going to give in. Because I really think we're just raising enabled brats. And I'm so sick of adults that act like brats. I'm like, aren't there enough children that act like brats? And they're going to every once in a while. And we, you know, we deal with it. I don't want to deal with adults who are being brats too. Like, let's minimize the population of brats in this country. So,
I know, I totally relate to you. Like when I meet those people, when I meet those people, I'm like, wow, they're kind of like when you talked about woe is me, it's like they're in their victimhood, right? Yeah. They're just, and you know, going back to that space of when you talked about the service, when you served, when you let go of worrying about yourself, right? Teaching that to our children as well, would you say?
Actually, a big thing, I was talking to my teen just a few weeks ago. He's going through the typical lack of confidence, you know, all that kind of insecurities, all the stuff that teens feel, right?
Right.
And I was thinking about how many of his friends are going through it, and their parents a lot of times go, oh, I'll take him shopping. Oh, I'll get him a better cell phone. Oh, I'll do, and then he'll feel confident because he'll have the newest gadget. And my solution to that was, dude, you and I are going to go volunteer somewhere together because you know what's going to make you feel confident? Like you're contributing something to the world. Owning the latest, you know, tablet or whatever, that's nothing. That's shallow.
Going to play Pokemon.
Exactly. That's going to make you feel good for like a week, maybe tops. Mm-hmm. But going, oh my gosh, I put a smile on that person's face. Mm-hmm. I fed that person who was hungry. That's that. And I feel like that's lacking right now. Parents aren't teaching their kids about where real confidence comes from, which is giving from ourselves, not getting, giving. That's where true confidence for adults or teens, or even little kids comes from.
I so agree. And I think, you know, you will see this if you haven't already. There's all these requirements in school now to do community service, like community, yes. You know, and I'm like, the requirements that you have to fulfill to graduate, sometimes I'm like, okay, they should just somehow want to do it. I mean, it's a wonderful thing because it's the impetus to get them there. And yeah. Then stay there and consistent. But sometimes I wonder like, yeah, I have to go volunteer for 30 hours for this, or I have to volunteer for this. And it's like, how do you get them from that space to, wow, this really changed me, not the other people. Right.
And I think we have to be an example from when our children are really young. Right. They have to see us doing it. I saw my mother always helping the needy. I mean, it was just, she didn't talk about it. She didn't force me to ever volunteer, but I just saw her doing it. And it made me go, oh, I get, you know, I want to do that. I want, oh, wow. Look how she changed that person's life. Wow. So a lot, I mean, very typical parenting answer, but they have to see the example in us. You know, if we're like not caring at all and then we're forcing them to community service, that's going to be a little rough and they're not going to, you know, be
right.
into it.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. You have to do it even though I don't.
I don't. Right. Right.
The other thing I wanted to switch gears about for a moment was the video that you did on four things not to wear once you become a mom.
Yes.
Because I feel like I listened to that and it is everything I so believe and that I write about all the time. So I kind of wanted to just walk through some of the points, but let's leave a teaser for the people so they go and watch it because it's so funny, but it's so right.
You know, I've gotten some people commenting, they didn't even watch it. They just judged it on the title, which is four things a woman should stop wearing after becoming a mom. And they were like, if one more person tells me to stop wearing leggings after 30, I'm like, it doesn't really have to do with clothes. I just sort of teased you into it. I'm actually so sick of those lists of women being told how to wear their hair after a certain age and what to dress. So I decided to do a play on that and talk about what really matters.
That's great. So with that, the first one, can you give like the first two?
Sure. Yeah. So I believe, I don't know if I remember the order. I believe the first one is other people's expectations.
Right.
It's the first thing we should stop wearing. I talk about the pressure we feel from other people. That I mean, and I think social media has contributed to that because it's like, oh, that mom seems to have it all together. And, you know, and we sort of compare ourselves. But just that expectation of what other people believe we should be. And then we try to live up to that and talk about truth. That's like opposite of living our truth. You know what? Like, I don't want to pretend. I don't want to live my life trying to please that stranger that I don't even, you know, like, who cares? I need to live what I really feel and what I, you know. So that I feel like most moms, probably every mom I know, has felt that pressure.
You feel the pressure. You do.
I hate it.
And you also talk about guilt in there as well.
Yes.
Which I love because I had four teenage girls in the back of my car the other day. I'm driving along and the girl's like, I feel bad that this and this. And I went, okay, let's do a mantra. Guilt is a useless emotion. Guilt is because it's just, we're raised on guilt. You know?
Oh my God. Yes. I think we're all raised on guilt. And I think that when you become mom, it becomes even worse because again, it goes back to that whole not being your kid's friend, right? You love your kid and you try to make their life fun and all this stuff, but then when they want something and you have to be strict or they misbehave and you have to punish, there's still that, oh, did I do the right thing? Oh, was I too strict? Oh, I feel bad. There's always guilt. Oh, I didn't spend enough time with my kid. You know, stay-at-home moms feel guilt for reasons. Working mom feel guilt for other reasons. It's like non-stop guilt. And it's something that's just, it's almost like a disease. Like we don't even know how to get rid of it. You almost have to like choose in the moment. Nope, not going to let that control me. So I think with a lot of these emotions, to me, it's like insecurities in general, it's not trying to get rid of them. We're going to feel them. It's not letting them control us. Does that make sense?
Yeah. You just
feel
just,
these things.
You're going to still feel them.
Yes. Right?
I mean, you know, but you just allow for them. That's what I say. Like, just allow. Okay. And let them pass because they're going to pass. And I wish I had the wisdom that you have now when my kids were younger, because now that, you know, all these kids have passed through and they're all in college and high school now, I look back and go, 80% of the people that judged me, 95% of the people that judged me, that I felt judged by as a mom growing up, the case of the shoulds, right? I don't talk to. Like, they're not even in my universe. And it's like, if I had known that then, it would have so helped me.
Yeah.
If that makes sense.
Yes. I think one thing that helps me is I know everybody says live in the moment. I think that's awesome. But what helps me is when I think of my kids thinking long-term. And so that's what helps me minimize like feeling guilty or whatever. When I need to follow through with a consequence and I feel bad because my kid is having a bad day or whatever. And I'm like, okay, long-term, is this consequence important? Yes, because they need to learn this lesson. This is really, you know, just the long-term, and also, like you were saying, long-term thinking, why are any of these people who are judging me going to matter in 10 years? Like, really? And who's more important to me, their opinion Right. Or my sanity and how I treat my children. Like, my children's well-being should always be more important to me than some stranger's stupid opinion.
So true.
I don't let my children say stupid.
I actually am known as the more permissive parent out of my two best friends. So we have the strict one, we have the middle of the road, and I'm kind of like, but I'm getting better because I'm noticing my oldest was given too much. Like, I didn't have a lot done for me when I was young, so I went the other way and I indulged them. And now I'm like, 21 and doesn't have the skills needed, right? So now I'm getting more strict with my youngest one, you know? It's so interesting how it works, you know, as parents.
Yeah, and there's actually, there's another article I wrote on my website called Fun Strict Parenting. And I talk about that balance, you know, between being strict, following through, you know, your child respecting you, but also having fun with it. I think it's important to make our children's life fun, right? Mm-hmm. But it's also important for us to find a way to enjoy motherhood, because it's so easy for motherhood to just turn into no, 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 you know, and then cooking and cleaning and all the stuff that just everything feels like a chore. And we have to just find a way. You know, I tell my friends all the time when they're like, oh, I'm so sick of this mommy thing. And I'm like, when's the last time you did karaoke with your kids? When's the last time you just baked cake and just dug in with your hands with your kids? Like, you got to have those fun moments to balance out all the
strictness and the intent. That's so awesome. Because, and also my director at Women for One, she just had a baby. So she's breastfeeding right now. And your breastfeeding video for, and I know you did a teaser with that one too about breastfeeding. You're like a breastfeeding advocate now, has almost 4 million hits on YouTube. So if you want to watch it, if you breastfed 20 years ago or you're breastfeeding now, it is like the coolest video because I laughed so hard, but it's so true. It was so awesome. And my director was like, wow, this is me right now, you know, out there. And it's still an issue.
Yes. I like using sort of sarcasm and comedy sometimes to point out, you know, how ridiculous certain arguments are. And I think in anything in life, we have to use humor to point those things out or we'll go insane. I mean, I literally would not be a functional person if I didn't handle life with a sense of humor. So yeah, that was
it was like a rant. Yeah. But it was
great. Yeah. I breastfed all three of my babies and I also got those looks and oh my gosh, you know, can't you just pump and blah, blah, all that stuff. So anyway, made this video and I'm surprised at the reaction it's gotten.
Were there some people that had an issue with it or no? No.
Well, I that's probably the one where I've gotten the most comments like, go die. And I, a lovely way to wake up in the morning. But I can't tell if these are people that judged it solely on the title, which again, the title is sarcastic, or if they watch it and they're just so disgusted with the mother breastfeeding. So I can't tell why people hate me, but it's good to know that, you know, it keeps me humble.
Well, and speaking of that, you're a great person to ask this because, you know, I go, and I'm actually writing a blog right now. I go between, you do what you need to learn, I believe, right? So I started a website about women speaking their truth because I need to learn to speak my truth unabashedly and not unapologetically and not be terrified of the repercussions, right? So how have you dealt with that? Because you've done it on such a large scale and you do get attacked, right? I'm sure. And the women, I remember the first time I put a blog out there, I was terrified to write it. And at Women for One, women email me every day like, oh my God, like I can't believe I'm going to actually put this out there. Maybe I should be anonymous. So I'm curious how you deal with that.
Yeah. You know, I'd be lying if I said that it never ever bothers me. Again, it's like, we feel like we have to not be bothered by things and not care about other people's opinions. And I'm sorry, but that's all crap. Like, let's be honest. We are going to care. Mm-hmm. And that's okay. We're human. We're going to care. If someone knocks us down, we're going to care. And it's, again, it's all about not letting that control you. So I remember putting a few videos out and getting really, I mean, here's the other thing. 90%, probably more than 90% is positive. Do we remember that? No. We always remember our worst review, right? We can have 1,000 people tell us, you look pretty today. If one person says, wow, you look fat, that's the only thing we're going to remember. Like, how ridiculous are we? Somehow we ignore the 1,000 and remember the one. So anyway, so what I remember getting negative comments. And again, it was just such a small percentage, but I hated it. And I thought, I'm just not going to do this anymore. And I thought, well, here's where I have control. Am I going to let these few control me not doing what I'm passionate about, not talking about, or I'm just going to say, great, your opinion. I don't even know you. Bye. Move on. And so it's just about, again, making a choice to say, even if it doesn't feel good, even if it maybe hurt my feelings, I'm not going to obsess over it. I'm not going to sit and like eat cookie dough for that. I'll eat cookie dough for other reasons, but you're not worth me eating cookie dough over your little comment. And I'm just going to keep going and doing what I know in my heart is right.
Well, and that takes strength, right? And resolve and a strong integrity of knowing who you are.
Sometimes being stubborn is a really good thing. I tell myself that about one of my kids. I'm like, you know what? This stubbornness that's driving me
someday
nuts is going to serve him well. Yes.
Yeah. You have to coach yourself, right? Yeah. You got that stubbornness.
Sure, right? Oh, when he's 30, this is going to be awesome for him.
Right now, I'm going to like lose my mind.
Right now, it's another glass of wine.
And that's the other thing. If you look on my About Kelly page, the one thing I wanted to do on One for One is to be real like you and say, hey, I'm a mom. You know, sometimes I drink too much. A lot of times I don't wear a bra. I mean, I say that on my page, right? And I love your take your bra off, feel good. And I think by us doing this, we give other women permission, right?
Yes.
Permission granted to be who you are. Be messy. Stop trying to be something you aren't, because it's just not, you can feel it. You can feel when somebody's not who they are.
I remember picking first time, and I do this all the time now, but I remember the first time I picked my kids up at school in my pajamas with like, yes, but you know, got out of the car, and these moms are like, they probably spend 3 hours putting fake lashes on. They have hair extensions, you know, push up bra. Like the moms probably got like Botox just for that event, just to pick up their kids from school. And I'm in my pajamas, no makeup, like my hair's just bleh, wild. And for what split second, I was like, oh, I do not belong. And then I just didn't care. And it's so funny. I had two different people text me that day and go, screw it. I'm wearing pajamas too. You know, and that's such a silly example, you know, the pajama thing, but it's anything in life, right? If we expose our vulnerability, if we talk about our flaws, I mean, that's one thing I cover in that 4 things a woman should stop wearing. It's like the idea of trying to be perfect. You know what? Perfection is so boring because it's not real. You know what's real is flaws. Like, I think flaws are so sexy, right? Mm-hmm. They make us unique. Just the idea, if we can all be honest and say, hey, here are my shortcomings, then that mom who's been suffering so hard trying to be perfect can say, oh, wait, she has shortcomings and she still has friends and she's still a good parent.
And she's happy.
Yes. Like, what? I can do it too, you know?
Yeah. And I love seeing those women that can do that. And I also have a deep compassion for the women that can't yet, because I was one of them.
Yes.
And I've still got it. I still have all of that, right? That's why I think everybody resonates with what you're doing. And you're just like this YouTube sensation, because you just sit there and go, okay, I want her address and I want to go drink with this woman. Or I just want to go sit with her and listen to her, because the realness just shines through you. It's so cool. And you know, I really want to reiterate to our audience and our community, it's like, God, truth and authenticity does not have to be serious. I think it's really important, you know, this lightness that you have about you. I'm moving into a lightness. You know, I got so serious and I wanted to learn about spirituality and myself for so many years. And it's like, you know, now I just want to be happy.
Yeah. And you know what? Having a sense of humor and laughing about life does not mean you don't take life seriously. I mean, at all. Like, I don't like how people sort of separate that. And if I make a joke about a topic, they're like, oh, you're not taking it seriously. I mean, obviously there are topics we should not joke about, right? But in general, motherhood stuff, just because I make light of it doesn't mean I don't take it seriously. It's just another way to make it more fun for myself. It's another way to feel more free to speak my truth. Sometimes it's easier to say things through humor, right? Sometimes it's easier to make a joke than really say, hey, I'm struggling right now. Whichever way you need to use to get it out, say it. Because the best part about life and having a community and having friends and even, you know, having people on the internet to look at their videos is that idea of me too. You know, when you can see somebody and they open up and they tell the truth and you go, oh, me too. She just made me feel normal. Like, I didn't know other people felt that way. That is like the best thing you can give another woman, in specific mother, right? Is to go give her that feeling where she can go, me too. You just made me feel normal. That's what we all want. We just want to feel normal. Because we all know that we're a little insane.
Yeah, we're all a little crazy. Yes. You know, I just talk about my brand of craziness. Everybody that works with me knows I'm a little crazy, but it's just your brand of craziness, you yes. know, and who you connect with that way.
Flavor of crazy.
Yeah, yes. What's your flavor of crazy? Yes. So kind of before we wrap up, I do want to ask you, so you grew up in Croatia. I wanted to ask you about your mom. What was she like? How did she raise you to be this, or how did you get to be this unapologetically you?
Well, my mom, it's interesting. My mom is actually complete opposite personality of me, like painfully shy. I can't even imagine. But she was just one of those quiet but strong women. She still is. She's still with us. I'm talking about her in the past. Like that. But like I said earlier, she was always giving, you know, in Croatia, it's very typical to have someone knock on your door and ask for food, not just, you know, on the street when you're walking by them. And I remember people asking for money and she would always give them bread or, you know, food. She would never give them money. It was just like little things I picked up. And also, even though she was so quiet, she was very consistent in her parenting. You know, when she said, if you do this, that will happen, then that happens.
And no matter what.
But that I respected her so much. I didn't fear her, but I respect her in a sense of, I can't get away with this. Like, my mother will follow through. She's not kidding, which is why I think that's one of the most important parenting things. You have to follow through on your word or your kid won't trust you. And if you have no trust, you have no relationship, period, in any kind of relationship.
Absolutely.
So, but she is just like the most loving, amazing woman. And I got to tell you, a year ago, she got diagnosed with cancer, and it was this rare, aggressive cancer, and it was just shocking to our family. There's no cancer in our family at all, anywhere. So it was a shock. And just the way she's approached life, I'll never forget. I mean, for the rest of my life, I'll remember this one line she said to me. She was visiting me from Croatia. I live in California. And she was cleaning my house and doing all this stuff. And finally, I said, Mom, you are on a vacation. Stop cleaning. And she said, I enjoy it. And I said, No. Nobody enjoys cleaning toilets and doing all this stuff. And she said, you know what? I didn't know if I'd be here today. So yes, I find joy in everything. And to me, oh my gosh, like, why can't we all just find joy in everything? Yes, I hate unclogging the toilet after three kids have thrown toys and who knows what in there, you know, but I can look at it two ways and go, ah, this really sucks. Or I can go, you know what? It's whatever. Turn some music up and dance to some 80s music while cleaning the toilet and make the best of it. It's like we have a choice to make the best of life. And we're only on this earth for a short time. And I don't mean to be a cheesy, but that's like the biggest lesson I've gotten from my mom is make the best of it. It's not always going to be great, but can you find that little bit of happy in it?
Just that wisdom, that little joy in everything. I agree. Oh, what a great woman. Yeah. And I really want to encourage our community to go also to your blog, the one around when you just visited Croatia as well, right? Didn't you just go there recently?
Yeah. I just went there for 3 weeks to visit my family.
And you showed them, it was a video actually, where you showed your house and what had happened and gave a lesson in that as well, which really touched me. It was beautiful.
Oh, yeah, the video is called From a Recovering Pessimist.
Right.
Which is a road I am still on. And
oh, me too. Yeah.
And you know what? I'm not ever going to be an optimist. I'm a recovering pessimist. I will always struggle.
I love that. So how can people get in touch with you? Obviously your website that we'll have on our homepage as well when we feature you and feature this video. But where would you like people to go?
You know what? My website is great. Follow my Facebook page, Christina with a K, last name K-U-Z-M-I-C. Same for Twitter and Instagram. And I try my hardest to really respond to every message and email. Sometimes I don't do great.
You actually do. Because I was so moved by your video and I reached out. I'm like, oh my gosh, she responded on Facebook. It was amazing.
I spent 2 hours just two nights ago. I was up till like 3 a.m. responding to messages from like a month ago saying, I'm so sorry it took me so long to respond. But I think that's so important. You know, people tell me, oh, your video helped me, whatever. But you know what? That feedback helps me, and just having that community. I mean, we're meant to be in a community. So it's not a one-way thing. It's a two-way thing. And if you write me or if you follow me on Facebook and have something to say or have a question, I will do my best to communicate back with you.
Thank you so much.